Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Claire Bat Sara, Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We got a lot of territory to cover on the program this week. We're going to be speaking about our predictions last week about how the elections would turn out. Did our predictions come true? Let's see. We're going to play the clip for you and we're going to see. We're also going to talk about how the results could have been different and historically were different in other circumstances in the elections. We're going to be speaking about how the anti-Semitic left now is trying to steal the election in Florida. And this is something that has been done in the past. And once again, they're trying to steal an election, pure and simple. And about how more self-hating Jews were elected. Before we even start, though, let me just say, we usually speak about this toward the end, but I just want to bring this up right away before we even get into the elections. Last week, we told you that we had over 163,000 views, Baruch Hashem, for our advertising campaign. That was as of last week. This week, it's over 188,000 views, Baruch Hashem. At the last time I looked, we have 8 videos being advertised and over 188,000 views on those videos, all among Israeli Jews. Our ad campaign is limited only to Israel and only to Hebrew-speaking Jews. So over 188,000 views on our videos. That's 25,000 views in 1 week. So we reached 25,000 Israeli Jews this past week with our message. It's not a very long message. The videos are anywhere from 46 seconds to one is 3 minutes and 12 seconds. So it varies, but they're short videos because they're like commercials. But still, it's reaching 25,000 Israeli Jews in 1 week getting our message. Baruch Hashem, that's certainly progress. I just wanted to share that with you because we're very excited about it. I don't know if we're going to get that same number of views all the time. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. You never know. We take it day by day, week by week. But we're hoping that somehow this will somehow wake people up, influence people, and try to move things in a better direction. At least there's one voice of truth being told in Israel. Those of you that support JTF are supporting that one voice of truth for Israel, because no one else brings the message that we bring to the Jews of Israel. No one else says what we say. Now let's talk about the elections in the United States. First of all, JTF's predictions. We made 3 predictions last week about what would happen in the 2018 midterm elections. We made three main predictions. We're going to show you now a clip from last week's program so that you'll see with your own eyes what our predictions were, and you'll see whether or not they were accurate. Watch this clip. Here's our prediction. We predict that the Democrats will take majority control of the House. In other words, the U.S. House of Representatives, we predict, as a result of the election on Tuesday, will have a Democrat majority. The Democrats will take control. Now, I know that goes against the predictions of Vice President Pence and Newt Gingrich and certain personalities on Fox News, and there's certain people who have predicted the Republicans will retain control of the House. And the pollsters are all over the place on this. There are some pollsters who predict Republicans will retain control. Others say the Democrats, and many say that it's too close to call. And it does seem very close. It seems like it's a very close contest. But we predict the Democrats will succeed in winning a majority of seats in the U.S. House of Representatives in this Tuesday's election. The second prediction we have involves the United States Senate. The Republicans currently have a 51-49 vote majority in the Senate, so it's a very thin majority. We predict that the Republicans will win in the Senate, that the Republicans will retain control of the United States Senate. And our third prediction is that the Republicans will actually gain seats in the United States Senate. They now have a 51-49 vote majority. We predict that that majority will increase maybe by one or two or three seats. We predict there'll be an increase in the Republican majority in the Senate. So we have three predictions. Let's see if they come true. Number one, we predict the Democrats will take the House. They'll get a majority of the House. Number two, we predict the Republicans will hold on to the Senate. They will continue to have a majority in the Senate. And number three, we predict that the Republicans will actually make gains in the United States Senate, that they will gain anywhere from one to three seats, maybe even four seats. We predict there'll be Republican gains in the U.S. Senate. So the Republican majority in the Senate, which is currently 51-49, will be a larger majority. As you can see from last week's show, there are three things we predicted. And those three things that we predicted, again, the prediction was made a couple of days before the election was actually held. Those three things predicted were, just to review them, number one, that the Democrats would take a majority in the House, that they would take control of the House away from the Republicans. Now, I know that Republican consultants and Republican pollsters said that wouldn't happen. And I know that the Fox News personalities, most of them said that wouldn't happen. And I know that people like Newt Gingrich and others, Vice President Mike Pence, all said that they didn't think that the Democrats would take control of the House. We thought that would happen, even though we thought that would be bad, but we want to tell the truth to the people, even if it is bad news. We want to bring people the truth. And so we made that prediction, and we were proven right. The Democrats did take control of the House. And the second prediction we made was that the Republicans would keep control of the United States Senate, that they would keep their majority in the United States Senate. And that also came true. The Republicans did keep control of the U.S. Senate, despite the fact that Chuck Schumer and other Democrats were saying, no, we're going to take control of the Senate. And there was talk on MSNBC and CNN about how the Democrats have a good chance. That didn't happen. We predicted the Republicans would keep control of the Senate. That happened. So far, two predictions true. Democrats would take control of the House. That came true. Republicans would keep control of the Senate. That came true. Two out of three predictions we made came true. And the third prediction was that the Republicans would increase their majority in the U.S. Senate. They currently have in the current Congress a 51-49 vote majority. We said they would gain on that majority, that they would actually pick up seats, and so their majority would actually expand, would be larger. That also came true. The Republicans will have at least 53 seats in the next Senate, and maybe as many as 54, 55, but at least 53 seats. So our predictions, all three of our predictions, all three of them came true, that the Democrats would take control of the House, that the Republicans would keep control of the Senate, that the Republicans would increase the number of seats they have in the Senate. All three of our predictions came true. You know, those of you who've been watching us for decades now know that, generally speaking, JTF's predictions have been remarkably accurate over the years, because we pay attention to what's going on and we do review the facts and information on the ground. We haven't always been right. In 2016, we didn't think Donald Trump would be elected president, so we haven't always been right. But most of the time, we have been right. Most of the time, we've been pretty accurate. And in this election, again, we got all of them. We all of our predictions, one after another, came true. So when you watch this program, you got a pretty good chance of finding out what's really going to happen when you watch JTF and when you stay with JTF. Now, the Democrats taking control of the House is bad. These are socialists. They're anti-Semites. They're anti-Israel. They're also anti-American. It's bad news. Nancy Pelosi is an evil, disgusting individual, a despicable person. And it's just not good news. I'm not a fan of the Republicans either in the Congress. I don't like politicians. Let's make that clear. I detest politicians. Once in a while, there's a rare politician like Ted Cruz in the United States or Moshe Feiglin in Israel that I have respect for because I see something courageous in a stand they take. But that's really rare. It's very rare, very, very rare when you see me praising any politician. Even when I support people, it's usually as a lesser of the evils. Remember, a lesser of the evils is still evil. So I don't like politicians. I don't like the, I think the Republicans are also phonies. But a Democrat control of the House is worse for us than Republican control of the House. It is worse. I mean, they're just horrible. And it didn't have to happen. It didn't have to happen. The Republicans could have kept control of the House. But unfortunately, and this is the bad news for you Trumpsters, Donald Trump blew it. He blew it. And I'm going to prove historically that you could have midterm elections where the party in power does not lose seats, even gain seats, especially when the economy is viewed as a strong economy. Most Americans believe now that the economy is strong, that the economy is doing well. I don't believe that because I believe that the economy is running on debt. Of course, if you run up, if you take your credit card and spend and spend and spend and spend yourself into bankruptcy, you're going to feel good while you're spending. Maybe you'll feel good while you're spending if you're stupid. But when the bills come in, when the bills finally come in and you can't afford to pay the bills, you're not going to feel so good. And that's what America is doing right now. America is spending itself into bankruptcy. And that has increased during the Trump years, not decreased. But Americans still feel the economy is doing well because of the reduced unemployment figures. The official unemployment figures are reduced. And because the stock market went up during most of Trump's presidency. So people feel the economy is doing well. And when the economy is doing well, many times the party in power gained seats in the Congress. For instance, in 1962, John F. Kennedy was president, and he cut taxes, and it caused a boom in the U.S. economy in the early 60s. The U.S. economy took off, because when you cut taxes, that's what happens, if you have a true tax cut. And that's what JFK did in the early 60s. So in 1962, the economy was doing well. And Americans and the Democrats had control of both houses of Congress, same situation that you had this year with the Republicans having control of both houses of Congress. The party in power was the Democrat Party. The Republicans were hoping they could make gains, but they didn't. The Democrats actually made gains. The Democrats did very well in the 1962 midterm elections because Americans perceived the party in power as delivering a strong economy. So during JFK's presidency, during that midterm election, the Democrats actually made gains on their majority. They strengthened their majority in the Congress. The same thing happened in 1998 when Bill Clinton was president during the last midterm election, the last election of Clinton's presidency. Despite the Monica Lewinsky scandal, despite all of the slimy things that Bill Clinton was doing, Americans felt that the economy was doing well in the 1990s, and so even though Republicans were hoping to do well in the election, and historically they're supposed to do well in the last midterm election of a presidency, of a two-term presidency, nevertheless, the Democrats made gains in 1998. In fact, it was so bad, the Republicans did so poorly in 1998 compared to what they were hoping for, that Newt Gingrich, who was the Speaker of the House, then had to resign. Shortly after the 1998 midterm election, Newt Gingrich was forced to resign because Republicans felt that he did not do a good job, and he didn't, of presenting the Republican case. And Republicans, again, they didn't do well in those elections. The Democrats made gains. So 1962 and 1998 are two examples of midterm elections where a party in power makes gains, especially when the American people perceive the economy to be doing well. When you have a situation like that, the party in power has a good chance of making gains if the campaign is run properly. But this campaign was not run properly because Donald Trump was running the campaign, and he doesn't listen to anybody and he doesn't pay attention to anybody. He goes out and makes his speeches, and every single day was another day of chaos and petty disputes and fighting with this one and that one, just nonsense and resignations from his administration and more scandals and defending Saudi Arabia, even though Saudi Arabia murdered 3,000 Americans in the 9/11 attacks. They're the ones who financed the 9/11 attacks and committed mass murder, the worst act of terrorism in American history. And Donald Trump is their biggest defender. And the same thing with Russia and Vladimir Putin. The Russians, of course, have always been historic, vicious enemies of the United States. But Donald Trump, again, always trying to defend his friend Vladimir Putin. And all the other things that he's done, he turns people off. And because of Trump, because of his unpopularity in suburban districts and among women voters, because of his unpopularity, the Democrats made big gains in the House. Big gains. They got a majority. They were a minority. They got a big majority. They didn't get a big majority because they were way behind, but they got a majority now in the House. And they've gained, as of the last count, at least 31 seats and as many as 40, could be as many as 40 seats, which is a huge gain in the House. That's a very big gain. So it was, you know, you have a situation where no matter what Trump does, he remains unpopular with the majority of the American people because he's viewed as someone who lies, who's inconsistent, who's unstable, even though he called himself a stable genius. Remember, he said, where do you get a guy who's president who calls himself a genius? I mean, this is just, he speaks sometimes like a madman. I mean, he's just so pathetic. And he turns most Americans off. I know you Trumpsters who live in your little Trump bubble, you don't see it that way. But he is not popular among most Americans. He turns them off. And by the way, the latest polls show that if he runs for re-election, Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, the well-known Democrat candidates running against him, beating him by double-digit margins. That's what the latest polls show for 2020. 2020 looks like a disaster for us. And I say for us because if the Democrats win the presidency after Trump was president, and we have a Democrat socialist in the White House, it'd be disastrous, just disastrous. And this is the reason why this is the reason why we tried to warn you that it would be better if we had had Ted Cruz as president, but people didn't listen. Anyway, Ted Cruz would have been more like Ronald Reagan. He's a good speaker. He's very disciplined. He doesn't go off on a wild tangent every day with another crazy manufacturer crisis every day. He doesn't act like an orange madman. It would have been so much better. It would have been so much better. Baruch Hashem, thank God, Ted Cruz, by the way, was reelected to the Senate in Texas. That was one of the good results, despite the fact that Beto O'Rourke spent more money in that Senate campaign than in any U.S. Senate campaign in American history. Never in the annals of U.S. history has so much money been spent in one state in one U.S. Senate campaign as for Beto O'Rourke. I don't remember, it was $150 million or $200 million or what it was. It was just insane what he spent in one state for just one Senate campaign. Just insane the amount of money he spent. He outspent Ted Cruz, I think, like about 3-1. It was unbelievable. And Cruz was able to win, thank God, in Texas. But despite that, that's not going to change the fact that Beto O'Rourke, I think, will be one of the front-running candidates for president. And it's very possible, God forbid, but it's very possible that Beto O'Rourke will be the next president of the United States. Very, very possible. Very, very possible. I would hate to see a race between Donald Trump and Beto O'Rourke. I would hate to see it. I don't think Donald Trump would do well. I don't think so. And in a race like that, we would probably support Trump because Beto O'Rourke is a catastrophe, an unbelievable catastrophe. But I would dread to see something like that. And again, what you people don't understand, you Trumpsters, the future is against you. Trump supporters are all old people my age. I'm 62 years old. His supporters are all my age. Young people hate him. Young people voted against Trump 2-1. And polls show and in this midterm election, young people voted overwhelmingly for the Democrats. He is turning off the people who are the future of America. He's turning them off to conservatism and republicanism, even though he's not a conservative, but people think he is. And people think he represents republicanism now. And that is disastrous. Disastrous. Because in 2020, there is a very good chance now that we're going to get a socialist in the White House, a real live, self-described socialist. Bernie Sanders, Beto O'Rourke, Bill de Blasio. I mean, one of these creatures may get elected, God forbid. That would be a catastrophe. Imagine a self-hating Jew like Bernie Sanders in the White House. Can you imagine what that would lead to? What a disaster that would be? I mean, this is what we feared all along. This is what we fear. And of course, if it's a race between Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, of course we're going to support Donald Trump, even though I hate Donald Trump. But I would support him because Bernie Sanders would be 1,000 times worse. So, 2020, I don't think it looks good right now. I'm very concerned about it. I don't think it looks good. And the Democrats controlling the House, it looks even worse because the Democrats are probably going to release Trump's tax returns. All types of embarrassing stuff is going to be subpoenaed because, you know, he's got a lot of embarrassing stuff in his background. You people, you Trumpsters, you never cared about the moral issues. You didn't care if he was clean or honest or if he was dirty and corrupt, which he is. You never cared about those things. That didn't bother you when he was running. You said, well, you just liked the way he speaked and you liked his style for some reason. I don't know why. And you didn't care that he was completely immoral. Without morality, a nation cannot survive. He's making America great again. We have gay marriage, tens of millions of babies being aborted every year. A president who bragged that he committed adultery against all of his wives. A border on the South where more people are coming across the border now than they were under Obama. Budget deficits that are larger than they were under Obama. A $21 trillion national debt that keeps growing, and that doesn't even count the real debt. That's nothing. Because that, you know, that's taking all of the real big debts in our economy off the table. Anyway, more self-hating Jews were elected to Congress now because of this. More self-hating Jews elected as governors, as members of Congress. I mean, just such embarrassment, such terrible people. And now in Florida, you did have one guy in Florida who Ron DeSantis, I think, ran a pretty good campaign. He's an Italian-American Republican. And he ran saying that he supports Israel and over again was mentioning Israel and the Jewish community and how he supports Israel and the Jews and was running that type of campaign. Whether he's sincere or not is not the point. The point is he makes an effort to say that he wants to back Israel and that he wants a good relationship with the Jews. So the Jews certainly should be supporting him, especially against his opponent, who is a black Farrakhan-loving Jew-hater of the worst type, Andrew Gillum. And DeSantis won, there's no question about it. He won the election. Just as Rick Scott, the Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate and the governor of Florida, he won the U.S. Senate seat against Bill Nelson. But the Democrats in Florida have a history of stealing elections. They seize the ballot boxes. All of a sudden, votes appear that were never cast. And other votes that were cast are discarded. Look who's in charge of the elections in Broward County, which is the second biggest county in the state of Florida. Look at this. Her name is Brenda Snipes. She's in charge. And you see all the people around her running it, same thing. That's who's in charge. I mean, this is just unbelievable. And all of a sudden, thousands of votes are amazingly apparent. Votes that were completely invalid are being turned into valid votes in Broward County. She's counting them. She's trying to count them. And votes that were valid are being discarded and destroyed. This is what they do in Broward County. They steal elections. It's really a bad situation. Bad situation. And you know, the Jews in Florida voted for Andrew Gillum, most of the Jews. The Orthodox Jews, of course, didn't. But the other Jews voted for Andrew Gillum. What a sick people that they vote for someone who detests them, who wants to destroy them, and they don't even give a damn. Most Jewish voters don't even care about Israel or Jewish issues or anything involving their Jewish identity. They couldn't care less. 78% of the Jews voted to elect Barack Hussein Obama, Muslim anti-Semite, to the presidency. And they knew he was anti-Israel. They knew he was an anti-Semite. They didn't care. They voted for him. They don't even care. Israel is not even one of the issues. And for many of them, they're anti-Israel. They're the worst enemies of Israel, a lot of these Jews, these self-hating Jews. Unbelievable. Unbelievable how sick. When are Jews going to wake up and realize, all you Jews that join AIPAC and all these Jewish establishment organizations, these are the organizations, these are the people who have destroyed American Jewry, who were responsible for the Holocaust, and who are bringing upon the Jews catastrophe after catastrophe. The worst enemies of the Jewish people are not external enemies, but internal ones. Our worst enemy, as HaGaon miVilna, the Vilna Gaon, said, the Vilna Gaon was probably the most brilliant Torah scholar in the past several centuries. The Vilna Gaon warned us that the number one enemy in the period of Geulah, the period of redemption, which means when the state of Israel is recreated and we're getting close to the end of times, the number one enemy we're going to face is the Erev Rav, the mixed multitude, which are the self-hating Jews, the Jewish anti-Semites. They are our number one enemy. People like George Soros and Tom Steyer and Chuck Schumer and Bernie Sanders and Paulus, this guy Paulus, who was elected governor of Colorado, and who's married to another man or a boy. I don't know what he is. Our worst enemies, our destroyers will come from within, it says. They're our worst enemies. And we got to face that and recognize that. Isn't it wonderful, at least, to know that our uncompromising message of principles and truth, at least somewhere, someone is reaching the Jews of Israel with this. 25,000 Israeli Jews this week saw a JTF commercial video. 25,000 Jews saw that. How much is it going to affect their lives? How much is it going to change their views? I don't know. Some of them who respond to the videos say that they say they like what we say. Some of them are against what we say. So I don't know how much it's going to affect them, and I don't know how much of an impact it'll have in the end, but at least the truth is being told by someone to a relatively large number of Jews in a country the size of Israel. 25,000 Jews in Israel is not a small number. Of course, instead of 25,000, we'd rather have millions of Jews getting our message every day, the way millions of Jews get a lying message every day from the lying media. We'd love to be able to be in that position, but we're not. And so we do the best we can with our limited budget. And at least someone, though, is saying something that's true for a change in our generation. And I hope you realize that that is important. Just as we tell the truth, even as far as what's going to happen here in America, we're telling the truth. It's going to be a dismal situation unless people wake up, and wake up quickly. And by the way, for America, I'm not optimistic at all. I'm not optimistic for America's future, even though you think America's being made great again by Donald Trump. I'm not optimistic at all. I don't think things look good. I don't think so. In Israel, I am optimistic because I know what Hashem, what God promises in the Torah. He promises the good guys are going to win in Israel. He doesn't promise that for any other country. He promises that Israel will succeed and will be redeemed and will become this great nation that will be a light unto the nations and a holy nation, a nation of priests forever and evermore. That this time Israel will never fall and great things will happen. That's the promise we get from Hashem, from God, in the Bible. We're going to fight this battle. And the most important thing to remember again is why we're in this world. Every single one of us, every single one of us has a higher purpose and a higher calling. Every one of us. That doesn't mean that each individual can change the whole world. None of us as individuals have the power to change the entire world by ourselves. But each of us can change the part of the world that we were put in this world to change. Each of us can make some difference to make this a better world. And that we are obligated to do. If everybody idealistically thought of life like that, and was determined to make this a better world and live by principles and ideals, imagine what type of world we would be living in. Imagine a world of honest people, of moral people, of just people, of merciful and compassionate and loving people. Imagine a world like that. Someday, that will be the world that people will live in. And we, who don't live in that world today, the world is has a lot of bad things and a lot of bad people. But we have to work and strive to achieve that goal and to achieve that great dream that the prophets tell us will inevitably, in the end, come true. If you're happy, at least, that someone is telling the truth, and that at least, again, I don't know how much it's going to, how much good it's going to do, but at least somewhere, truth is being told. If that gives you some encouragement, then you're in the right place. I don't know any other group in America that is doing this, that's bringing this truth to the people of Israel. There is no other group. I could tell you there isn't any, as far as I know, unless somebody can make me aware of something that I'm unaware of. Help us, join with us, Jews and righteous Gentiles, because if we fight together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.